kids to come on down the front because I believe we've got something exciting today. So kids, come on down the front. All you kids, quick, come down before the music starts. Here we go.
Agent 98 and a half. And we learned at Stable that chaos knows about a special natural resource. Dun, dun, dun! That's right. Thank you. And they want to keep it to themselves. But at Stable, we know we have to find it. Find out what it is and make it available for the good of the whole world, don't you think? Yeah? Yeah. Now, Maxwell, not so clever, is off chasing a lead. But the chief sent me because he reckons Agent 44 has some information that will help us. Now, I've got to find him. You know Agent 44. He's a master of disguise. So I have to find Agent 44. Are you there, 44? No. That's not him. A guitar. That's good. That's good. Are you there, 44? Are you in there? It's not 44. Where could he be? Are you there, 44? Is that you?
Yes, it's me.
Wow. That's an amazing disguise. Are you in the pig?
Thank you. It is a nice disguise. I can't seem to pop the top up, though, so you'll have to come in close and listen carefully.
Not in the pig. Okay. All right. Okay, 44, what's the word?
The word is aqua.
Aqua?
Yes, aqua. The resource in question is a special type of water, and the claim is that anyone who drinks this water will never be thirsty again.
That sounds really unlikely, 44.
Hey, my job is just to pass on the intel, not to verify its trustworthiness.
Sorry.
No problem.
Wherever you are, sorry. Okay. All right. So, special type of water. Okay, special type of water. This is 98 and a half, calling 86. Are you there, 86? Max, is that you? The word is aqua. Good thinking, Max. Right, okay, yeah. Right, okay, now. So, it's a special resource, it's water. We have to find out something more. We have to learn about it, all right. But I think I need help because I haven't got Max. And, you know, he's so smart and so everything that I'm not. So, who wants to help me? Yes, all right, now. What we need to do is... we need to go to a special place and learn about this aqua. So if you come and line up and follow me and we'll go there now, okay? Right.
The reading today is from Acts 16, verses 16 to 34. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that the hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're still here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then, immediately, he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family.
Thank you, Bruce. Excellent work. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity of meeting together in this place to open your word and to hear what you would have to say to us. And I pray right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would indeed speak directly to our hearts. Lord, that you would give each of us something, a treasure, a precious stone, a word from you, Lord God, that we can take home with us and let work in and through us for the rest of this week. We thank you that your word is indeed an incredible word. And I thank you that we have the opportunity to look into it and to study it together. In your name. Amen. Acts chapter 16. What a great little chapter. For those of you who can remember back to last year where we did the book of Philippians, Brendan did chapter 1 and the intro into Philippians. And this is this time and the place where Paul hears that call from God, that great big call to go, and he heads to Philippi, and he's heading to this place, and it's quite a significant thing in Paul's life. He's heard loudly from God, and he goes. Now, as you're aware, we shared this morning, David shared that this is Oikos number 2. It only gets called Oikos number 2 because we haven't got any other fancy name for it, and we're just doing a whole month on Oikos, and this passage says Oikos a number of times. So we're just going to dig into that and see what it actually is about. So it's for you and I to grab hold of. Just to put up front, we've had a couple of chats with people this week. Oikos is not a program. It will have programs that are a part of it, but it is not a program that you can link into. What I'd like to put to you is Oikos is actually a lifestyle. It's a way of living out the Great Commission in and through your life, in your home, in your neighborhood, and into your community. Now, that's nothing new to what we've heard many, many times through God's Word. Amen? It's just we're packing it into a way that is intentional for us as a church to say, this is what we want to do into this region, and we want to encourage and inspire everybody to do that in their own backyard, in your workplace, in your neighborhood. As I was praying and everything last night, I an amazing, trying hard to explain it, but a hit of God, of conviction, of to get up and walk around my neighborhood again and to stop in front of the houses of the people who live near me and pray intentionally for those that live in that house. So it's starting to get into my spirit, and I pray that it gets into your spirit. This story from verse 16 leads on from Lydia getting saved. Now, if you go back into that passage, you'll see that when Paul arrives with his team, nothing happens. Nothing happens. How frustrating. Have you ever been in that point where you've heard this loud voice from God that says, "This is what I want you to do, go." And you get there all excited, inspired, and ready for revival to break out and great things to take place. And it's quiet. There's nothing happening. There's not a response. There's nothing flowing through. And then finally, you meet down by a river, and a lady and her household, her oikos, get saved. And she's not a Jewish lady. And so there's a breakthrough. And then the guys are all inspired, and so they get up in the morning, every morning, and they go off to the prayer place. Now, it doesn't say temple, because this is Philippi, a Roman colony. Now, Philippi wasn't always called Philippi. It had another name earlier on, which means place of healing waters. And then a guy called Alexander the Great came along and named the place after his dad, King Philip of wherever he was from, Morocco. Yeah, Macedonia, I think it was. Not real good on that area of the history. So that's where the name came from. He's named after Philip, the king. So Alexander the Great had an input there. There's a whole bunch of amazing things that take place in this place of Philippi, but this story, I think, is really quite incredible. We get to this place where not a lot's happening, and they go off to a prayer meeting. And as they're heading to the prayer meeting, a slave girl... So this is not a free girl, this is a slave girl. A girl who has been bought for a price, but has this gift of being able to tell the future. All right? A seer. Someone who is able to know what's going to happen to you in the future, which would be very helpful in some things, don't you think? You know? If the Broncos are going to have a great season and someone was able to tell me, "Yes, Donnie, go and watch the Broncos this year, it'll be great," then that'll be good use of that money. But if the Broncos are going to have a bad season and I'm going to go all the way down there through the traffic and parking and jumping on a bus with a bunch of whole other sweaty people going, "Yeah, we're going to the footy," and then we lose, yeah, the bus is going to be very quiet on the way home, you know? And if they could tell us that Queensland's going to have a good year, then yay, State of Origin party's back on. But if New South Wales are going to whoop our butts, yay, that's off. We're not doing that this year. You know what I mean? This would be handy for this sort of thing to come about. Then this girl is walking around, and she's not saying bad things about Paul and Silas, is she? She's walking around and she's saying, "Behold, these men are the servants of God, the true God. The true God. And if you listen to them, they'll tell you how to get saved." Now that's a good message. That is a great message. What a way to walk through life. You know, to walk into the surf club, the shopping center. "Behold, Donnie, the servant of the true God. If you have a chat to him, he'll give you the good news on how you can be saved." Shopping might take a lot longer if you have that sort of sign walking behind you. People might go, "Oh, wow, you're the servant of the Almighty God. Oh, great. And you could tell me how to get saved." So this girl doesn't do it for one day. She does it for numerous days. And then Paul turns around troubled with her. What's the trouble? This is good, isn't it? Isn't this a good thing that's happening? Isn't this getting the attention? Isn't this putting it on the TV and advertising? Hey, these guys are good. Handing out leaflets. Isn't this a good thing? Isn't this like putting on social media? "Hey, come to Kiwanis Life. There is a servant of the Almighty God who preaches the word of God, and he will tell you how to get saved." Isn't that a good thing? Yeah. But Paul goes, "No, this is a bad thing. This is a bad thing." And he rebukes the girl, and a demon comes out of her. Gone. She no longer has the power to foretell the future. It's gone. Now, as we look into this very quickly as a quick aside, there's only one spirit you want living inside your being. and that is the Holy Spirit. No other spirit. You want to give no ground to no other spirit. Now, I don't know if it's as I'm getting older. I have had this chat to a couple of older men to help me out here to get some wisdom. But as I get older, I seem to be getting grumpier. A few men have said, yeah, that's just what happens, Donnie. It's just the way it is, mate. Someone said, maybe you've got a spirit of grumpiness and you need some prayer. But the only spirit you want in your being is the Holy Spirit. You don't want any other spirit coming in and grabbing hold of your personality or who you are, your character or anything. Nothing. Just the Holy Spirit. This woman didn't have the Holy Spirit. This wasn't the Holy Spirit pronouncing all this stuff. Was what this spirit telling the truth? 100%. These men were or are servants of the Almighty God. And will they tell you how to get saved? Yes, they will. So everything that she was saying was the truth. Isn't that something that we have today? Lying spirits telling the truth and sucking people in. I've met people who've gone to places and told them stuff, and it's just like, but they told me the truth, Donnie. It has to be God. What they're telling me has to be true. It's not, folks. I'm sorry. It's not true. It's a con, if you want to put it that way. Anyway, that's another sermon for another day. This is what takes place in this place. The spirit is gone, and the girl no longer has anything. Now, the girl was making lots of money, because where is this place? This is Philippi. Philippi is a Roman colony, and they have all those gods. They look for omens every day. If you look at some of those old movies about the Greeks and the Romans and all the things that took place, they would go out, and if they see an eagle flying over the sky and it swoops down on a snake and it grabs the snake and it rips its head off, and they are the eagles, then they go, it's a sign from the gods, we are going to have victory. And then they go out to battle. Now some of you might think, oh, silly pagans. Well, in the Crusades, we had Christian armies going out because they believed they had a part of the cross, a holy relic, and they will conquer in the cross, and they would never be defeated because the army who has this holy relic will never be defeated. And then they go into battle, and guess what? They get defeated. And the army that defeated them would take the holy relic, and they would say, now we've got the holy relic, we will go into battle and we won't get defeated. Hold on a sec, didn't you just beat the army who had that? What are you doing here? This is not a good strategy. Omens and all this sort of stuff, don't live your life by that sort of gump. It's rubbish. And this is what they lived by, all these different omens. And a fortune teller was great. Like her owners were getting money for nothing. She would just be telling everybody everything, and they're just getting money day after day after day. And when Paul rebukes her and casts a demon out of her, guess what? No more money. Slave girl's not good for much good now. Not that sort of coin anyway. So the owners get cranky. Whole bunch of things get placed. But why is this a bad thing? Well, it's very simple. Paul is in a Roman place, a pagan place. Here is a girl who is not a follower of the true God. And yet she's the one saying the stuff. So the people, the crowd, you heard the phrase guilt by association? Fruit from the poison tree? So they're all saying, Paul and Silas aren't really from the true God, but they're just making out that they're from the true God. They're a part of the con. They're a part of this coming into our new place. And so Paul gets rid of her to say, no, we're not a part of her. She's not a part of us. What is being said in this way is not what we're about. We are about the true God. We are about how you can get saved. This is the truth we want to be about, and that is not the truth. And they distance themselves from them. And this caused an uproar, a mighty, mighty uproar. Hold on a sec, Brendan, I'm coming over here. A mighty uproar. And in this uproar, Paul and Silas are captured and they are stripped. Now, the Bible doesn't say stripped. It's interesting. David has two things about streaking today, but stripped. And I'm guessing they were stripped Yeah, stripped. And then they were beaten with rods. Beaten with rods. How would you like to be beaten with that? I wouldn't like to be hit once with that. This, by the way, is not anything to do with Cynthia and I keeping me in order or anything like that. This is from my fishing gear. And I have it in the kayak with me so that if I catch something huge, because kayak's only so big, and if I catch something big, it has to jump in the kayak with me eventually, all right? This is to subdue it. And it's very good at subduing things, although I really haven't caught anything that big to have to subdue it that bad. But this clicks onto the kayak. The only time I've had a shark circle me in the kayak, this was back in the car. Let me tell you, I wish I had it with me. Watching a shark do circles around your kayak is a bit scary. That's a rod, and they were beaten with that. Now I come from an era, some of you older guys might know this era as well, where, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child was a phrase used often in my house. My dad didn't have a rod like that. My mum had the wooden spoon. Wooden spoons. She had the fly swatter. Go ahead, whoop my butt with that. My dad didn't have a rod, but he used the wooden dustpan brush. And he spun it around the way where the brush wasn't facing closer to you. So there was no cushioning. Man, that was as close to a rod as I got. And I'm telling you, one whack with that got me to submit straight away. These guys were beaten with rods. Beaten. And then whipped. Flogged. Now, some of you may be surprised, but I have convict heritage. Matt's not surprised. I have convict heritage. This guy, Thomas Joyner, was born in 1803 and died in 1882. So he got through his convict years. He arrived in Australia. He, at the age of 14, he was captured stealing a boat. Yeah, that's not a bad thing to steal. But he wasn't sentenced at that period of time to anything but a slap on the wrist. A few years later, he hadn't learned his lesson about stealing. At the age of 17, he was captured stealing 50 pounds of coffee beans. That's a good thing to steal. I think that's where my coffee addiction started, my relative. And he was sentenced to 17 years in Van Diemen's Land for stealing that. The sentence didn't start until he arrived in Van Diemen's Land. That just doesn't seem just to me. It's like, it's not a 24-hour cruise from England to Australia in those days. And it certainly wasn't a cruise. If you made it to Van Diemen's Land, you achieved something. When he got to Van Diemen's Land in 1830, at the age of just over 18, he made a couple of mistakes in the first 12 months. He was disrespectful to his owner, or lord, and was sentenced to 25 lashes in February, 1.5 months into his sentence. He didn't learn very well from those 25 lashes, because in May and then again in July, he received 50 lashes each time. Man, in 1840, he made the same mistake. But in 1840, they must have had a review of the discipline process for convicts. And instead of being whipped numerous times, he was fined financially. I'm telling you, I'd rather be fined financially than going through a whipping. These guys have been stripped, beaten with rods, and flogged. They're not having a good day. They're having a really bad day. Then they're arrested and put into prison. Now, when they're put in prison, they're not just in the nice prison, they're in the dungeon part of the prison where they are put into stocks. Now, the next part of the story is that they're praising God. Now, if we would like to do really bad exegesis, we could say, okay, here's how it works. You put people in stocks and then they praise God really well. So we could put a row in the middle here, the stocks row. And those that really want to worship and praise God properly, you could come in early and get your stocks. They were not so much the head ones. These guys, they got put into leg ones. And the leg ones actually stretched you. So if you're short, not only can you get to praise God, but we can strengthen and stretch you a bit. All right? Do you want to be a bit taller, Di? We'll put you in the stocks. And you'll be able to sing and praise God. But that's not the way it worked. That's what happened to them. And all the commentary writers that go into this about the stocks and the pain that they were in with the stocks, because it's not a fun thing. Sorry, with your present experience, would you like to have stocks or no stocks? Oh, stocks, please. Nah, not at all. This was a punishment upon the other stuff that they'd already been through. It's not a fun time. And yet, what happens to them? In their inner cell, in the dungeon, after all this had been done to them, stripped, beaten, flogged, and put in stocks, they start praying and worshipping God. I can't imagine it. Can you? Do you think that's what you'd be doing? Your prayer might be, get me out of here, God. I don't deserve this. You spoke to me loudly and clearly and told me to come here. And I came here. And I rebuked this girl who had a foul demon spirit. And it was right because that spirit left her. And now look what they've done to me. They've upset with me. I've come to bring salvation, your salvation, the good news of the gospel. Look what I'm doing. I need the stocks. They beat me up. That'd be me. I'm telling you right now. I'd be not happy. I'd probably even say, they didn't tell me this at Bible college. They didn't say people wouldn't like me. They get upset with me if I told them the truth or I changed their ways. If we go back just a little bit, the guys that owned the slave girl got cranky because they said they were getting them to change the way they believed. The Romans believed anything. Everything went in that. This was the most immoral, bad culture in the day. So what is it they're getting cranky with? They're praising and worshipping God. I have a great example, a more modern example of praising Him and worshipping God in prison. And I actually have this book, and it's a spare one. So I actually can't read two of the same book at the same time. So if you would like this book, I'm happy to give it away to the first person that comes up to me afterwards, if you'd like it. Warning, it's not an easy book to read, and it will change your life. Okay? Story from it. Chapter 18, chapter 19. A guy called Dmitri. Dmitri is just like you, only he's living in Russia. He's living in a village where the political party at the time decided to get rid of all pastors and churches. So that's what's happening. They're gone. But Dmitri is a follower of Jesus, a follower of the true most high God. And so he starts teaching his kids about prayer and the Bible. And his kids start telling the school kids that they go to school with about Jesus. And they start coming over to the house to learn about Jesus and prayer. And then their parents find out. And guess what? Dmitri's household gets filled with other households. They're not doing church. He's just being a follower of Jesus. And when the group gets to 25 people in his house, learning about prayer and studying God's word, the powers that be knock on the door and say, look, it's illegal for you to have a church. And Dmitri says, this isn't a church. I'm not a pastor. I'm just a follower of Jesus, and we're just praying together. This is not a church. Teaching the Bible, praying, singing, sounds like a church. But it wasn't a church. It was just what he did. Isn't that cool? Maybe our head needs to shift a little bit in that gearing, huh? I'm not planning a church. I'm just doing what is good with my friends and neighbours. Dmitri keeps doing this, and it goes from 25 to 50 to 100. Lo and behold, the powers that come knocking again, and they take Dmitri away. Now, to shorten this story very quickly, Dmitri gets put in jail, and he's in jail for a long time. And what he does every day, he's in a bed that he can only lie sideways on. And when he gets out of the bed, his toes touch the wall and his calves are touching the bed. So he's not in a real big space. This is his prison space. He said that his nose can touch the wall at times. And the first thing he does every morning when he wakes up is he sings his heart song at the top of his voice. And he sings it throughout the prison. Now you can imagine a Russian prison, not everyone in there is not a pastor who's not having church and not seeing people saved. Not that sort of guy. And yet he's there and there's other people and you could hear him going, "Shut up! Dimitri, go back to bed! Stop it! Stop it! You're Bible basher," whatever word you want to think of. But Dimitri keeps doing it day after day after day. And he sings his song. What song would you sing if this was you? What song would these guys be singing? Would they be singing 10,000 Reasons? I don't know. I don't know what the latest Hillsong was back in those days. What would they be singing? Would they be singing a psalm or something that Paul had written that he taught them? I don't know. Dimitri sang this song. Anyway, they tried to get him to recant again and again and again. He didn't recant. And then they started telling him lies about his wife and his kids. And then he was broken and depressed. And he finally got to a point where he was ready to sign the paper and recant. And so he said, "Tomorrow you can take me out, I'll recant." And then he was going to be set free. He'd no longer have to be in prison. And so that night, God came and visited him and said, "Dimitri, they've lied to you. Your wife is still following me and so are your sons." Dimitri got up the next day, went out, and they had the paper. They were very keen to get him to recant that he was a Christian. And he said, "I'm not signing it." And they said, "Sign or we take you out right now and shoot you." "I'm not signing it. You lied to me. My wife is still following Jesus and so are my kids. I'm not recanting. You can take me out and shoot me." And as they take him through the prison, guess what happens in there? All those men stand up in their prison cell and they sing the song that they've heard 1,000 times because of Dimitri. And they all sing his heart song, which guess what? It's become their heart song. One man in prison, not a pastor, didn't start a church, but had 100 people come into his house to pray, to sing and to learn from the Bible. Chapter 19 goes on to what else happens, if you want to grab that book later. Amazing. These guys are singing and all the prisoners are hearing what they're singing. So there's something taking place here. Now the Bible tells us that an earthquake hits the place. Let's have a look at this earthquake. Picture an earthquake that you've seen on the news. All right? Picture that earthquake. What do you see? Yeah, desolation, buildings crumbling, everything, boom. And these are modern buildings. This is an old building and a jail with a dungeon and all that sort of stuff. Here's what happens. The prison's foundations are shaken. Doors open, chains fall off. Chains fall off. And all the prisoners are free. I'm not going to argue with Luke because he would have had a chat to Paul about what took place, but I don't think this was an earthquake. I think it was a God shake. I think the people, that praise, that worship that was taking place in that room, the heart, the light that was going on in the prisoner's heart, something was going on and God just went, "Yes!" And it shook the place, specifically that chains fell off and they were set free. And then the jailer comes in and he sees that the doors are open and everything. And his mindset, he said, the prisoners are all gone. Now the jailer had a good gig because he made lots of money, but it was a bad gig because if one of your prisoners escaped, you had to pay the fine. And if you had prisoners in there who were murderers who were going to be executed, guess what? You got executed. And so he probably had a couple of really bad guys in there, and Paul and Silas, obviously really bad guys. And so he realizes that he's going to go through some absolute torture and pain, so he grabs his sword. Again, Roman understanding is suicide's a good way out. It's not a dishonorable thing to do, it's actually an honorable thing to do. And that's why you'll see lots of Romans in battles, they'll commit suicide at the end of it before being captured. Also, what they did to Romans when they captured him probably led towards that as well. So he's ready to commit suicide. And Paul yells out, "Don't do it!" And he turns around and he's trembling and he falls at their feet. And then he brings in a light and he sees what's taking place and all the prisoners are still there. And Paul and Silas are standing before him. And he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Isn't that a great question? Picture in your mind someone who you want to hear that from. Who would you love to come up to you and say, okay, I've watched your life. I've watched the way you live. I've watched your family. I've watched your oikos. How do I get some of that? How can I be saved? What will change my life? The jailer wasn't a good guy. He was a bit shonky, because that's what jailers were like in those days. And yet he comes to this point, what must I do to be saved? And they replied to him, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your oikos, your household. And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in that house, the oikos. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. So he washes their, in this symmetry beautifully, he washes their wounds, and then he is washed in baptism for all his wounds. Isn't that cool? I like that. You can't write this stuff. Well, you can, but you know what I mean. And so he's baptized, he and his whole household. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you haven't been baptized, then here, I'll put it to you. Give you some time. Easter's coming up. Easter Sunday. What a great day to get baptized over in the lake. Easter Sunday. If you haven't been baptized, come and have a chat to myself, to Avril, anyone on the leadership team, Brendan. Chat to us about coming being baptized. We'd love to have a great day. Easter Sunday, baptism day. What a great day to remember it. This whole family was baptized and they were saved. And after the baptism, the jailer brought them into his house and he gave them a meal. And it was filled with joy because he believed in God, and he and his whole household, the whole household, had come through to faith. That's a good news story. And that's a good way to do it. As a youth pastor, my job was to work with young people. And the amount of times I worked with young people and saw them come on fire for God, and then I'd send them home, and it was tough for them at home. It was tough. I had sit-downs with parents who got into my face saying, you have destroyed my son. He no longer goes out with his mates. He goes to a youth group on Friday nights. He goes to church Sunday nights. He goes to a home group during the week. And I've caught him at home reading his Bible. His mother has found that he's not swearing as much and he hasn't been drunk in 2 months. Yeah, I can see how I've ruined your child's life. But the home wasn't saved. And it was hard for a child, a teenager, to go home into that situation. If we can see households saved, that's a good way, eh? The family comes to know faith all together. It's a good way to work it. I want you to stop and have a think about the people in your life, those that are lost, the prodigals that may need to know how to be saved. I've got a prodigal in my family who thinks he's the black sheep. And yet, he's the most amazing evangelist I've ever met. But he's walked away from God. And so part of my praying into this is for him, my brother Neil, to come back to faith. To have the healing and the process to come back and those wounds all healed. And that he might be able to walk again with God. He thinks he's the black sheep, but there are others in the family that are the true black sheep who know nothing about God. And this is my oikos. This is my family. And I want to pray into their lives. Cynthia's family, my family, the lost can come home to the family of God. Oikos is a lifestyle. It's a story that flows in and through our lives. And I pray that it'll flow in and through your lives. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for Paul and Silas, who were just going about what they've been doing the days before, going to a place of prayer. And then something happened. An event took place. Father, many of us could be getting frustrated like I suppose they were because they'd heard your voice and you stepped them into this place and nothing was happening. And some of us might have been praying for family members or our neighborhood for years and years and nothing has happened. Father, fill us with your strength and your joy that we might stay faithful to the word of God on our lives. and they would continue to be your witness and testimony in that place at this time. Because, Father, it could be today where something happens. It could be today when they will get down and say, "What must I do to be saved?" And it's then our opportunity to share the good news to them. Help us, Lord God, to be aware and faithful and true, day in and day out. No matter what the enemy sends at us, no matter what his tricks are, fill us with your strength and your Holy Spirit to guide us into all that you've got for us. In Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said, Amen.